is Danny Abosh.
And Susan DeLallo, writers of Fancy Nancy the Musical.
And you're listening to Dave's Gone By on UNC Radio.
Welcome, Shalom. Oh, I am so happy our listeners here on Dave's Gone By. Once again, I get to take over the airwaves for a few minutes and talk about something I love almost as much as Judaism, and that would be the theater. You know, there's a new family musical that is playing at the Magin Kazel Theater off Broadway. It's been running since the fall of last year. It's called Fancy Nancy. Personally, I think Fancy Schmancy is a better title, but you know, it's not for me to say. I will be talking, though, with the authors of this musical. It's Danny Abosh and Susan DeLallo. They have written other things, which we will talk about, but before anything else, I must ask the very important question. Danny Abosh, are you Jewish?
I am, yes.
Yes! Yes, damn it! Yeah. Susan, you can leave. We don't really need you.
No. No, I am also, but I married out of the tribe.
But what on earth? What made you? How much money did he give you to do this? Seriously, but you were right. What is your maidenhead name there?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Well, your name. What is your name? Or was your name?
Right, it was Katz.
Oh, she's Katz. There we go. Okay.
I didn't know that.
See, you learn something new every day. And Danny, what was your maiden name? No, I'm kidding.
Very funny.
Just messing with you. So, tell us about, whoever wants to begin, this musical that you have collaborated on called Fancy Nancy.
Fancy Nancy is a series of children's books that we didn't know about. Well, my kids are in their 20s, and so it's a new phenomenon. It's kind of like Harry Potter for little girls. I mean, it's just this amazing cult thing. And
okay.
Girls 2 to 5 just go crazy. There are Fancy Nancy parties and dress-ups and kits and makeup and costumes and all kinds of things. And then we were approached to do it as a musical, and boy, did it lend itself to one.
And how does it...
I actually knew about the books beforehand because I used to teach elementary school music, so I found out about them that way. But yeah, it's a very popular children's book series by Jane O'Connor and Rob Price Glasser about a girl named Nancy who loves to be fancy.
Talk about a topic sentence right there. That's what they call high concept in the movies. She's a girl, her name is Nancy, she likes to be fancy. My God, you put Robert De Niro in it, you're all set. What can I tell you? But seriously, though, so when in adapting this, did you just adapt that first book, or did you take stories from the different series of books? What did you grab?
You know, it's mainly based on a book called Fancy Nancy and the Mermaid Ballet. We did use a few of the other characters and a few other themes from other books, but it's mainly, the plot sticks pretty close to that one book.
So let's talk about the timeline. I'm always interested in this, of something going from a kernel of an idea to an actual produced thing that people are watching. So, how many years ago, when were you approached to write this musical?
Shani, maybe you can answer that, because I think it was a year ago,
sure.
November. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, for me, it was in January of 2012, was when we first started talking
about
it.
So this is really recent. You started even thinking about this musical, and it was up on its feet, like 9 months later?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's a very short time to do that. Although it is a shorter musical. It's about an hour long, so maybe it's not quite as crazy because of that.
Now, once you started getting into it, how many rewrites were there? How much work and change was being made to the material?
You know, compared to other things I've worked on, this was relatively painless. I mean, we had one draft, and we had another draft with a couple of revisions, and I think we went with the third draft. I mean, I'm working on something now, I've got about 60 drafts on, but this was...
Susan, this is Susan DeLallo we're talking to. What is an example of a show you've worked on that was painful in the writing process?
That's interesting. Just because something is painless doesn't mean that the others are painful, but they are time-consuming. I've worked on one musical that I began writing in 1999, and we're still making changes. Every time it's produced, we make more changes, and we get more directors who have more input.
But you had it done. It's not...
That's the ending thing. Yes, it's been done. But even after it's done, it's been changed. But I'll say Fancy Nancy, when it was done, we really haven't changed anything since it was first
That's right. So it was commissioned by the Vital Theatre Company. You gave it to them, you wrote it, and once you handed that in, are you also acting, directing, doing anything elsewhere, or you handed it in and then you watched it in the hands of other people, as it were?
Yes, we were involved in casting, and Danny was... Will you tell them, Danny, what you did?
Well, I did the orchestrations, too.
Ah.
So I did that part of it. But no, we had a separate director and musical director. We came to some of the rehearsals, but other than that, the director and music director really... at themselves.
Now, were there any changes?
Then we also did have some readings along the way. Before it got into the rehearsal process, we did do about two or three readings with actors to try the material out.
But it was such a fast process that this happened. It's really quite amazing. But in once you got past the reading process, did you make more changes in rehearsals? Or by then, was it set? You couldn't touch it?
Yeah, even until after preview weekend, we were still making small changes.
Like what? What are some examples of things that you thought were okay, you looked on the stage and said, you know, it would be better if?
Some of them are technical things, like you might have somebody exit a scene and then you say, no, wait, they should exit stage left, stage right, that kind of thing. Or somebody might say a line and then you hear it the way it sounds and you think, that's not really what I meant, there's a better way of saying that, so you might change a line. Or a scene might feel like it's going on, so you cut a couple lines.
Yeah, one of the things that I remember went through some changes during preview weekend was the tea party song. It used to be just Nancy and Bree having the tea party, and then we incorporated Mom into it later in the process.
Cool. So again, that's just one of those things that, you know, while seeing it, it occurs to you, and you say, well, let's try this and let's do that. So, are you, it's a weird question to ask, are you thrilled and happy with what you see on stage? Are there things that you would still tinker with if you could?
Yeah, you know, no, I love it.
I love it. Yeah, this is the most tinker-free project I've had. I mean, every time I see it, I just smile in all the same places, or sometimes new places. No, there's nothing I would change, and I don't know the last time I've ever said that.
Now, can I ask, what is the difference between... You get an idea, and writing a musical for a general or for grown-ups, essentially, and writing one that is specifically for a 5 to, say, 12-year-old crowd. Feel free.
Let me answer that? Okay. in the ideal world, there's really no difference, except perhaps for vocabulary and some subtext. I think part of the key of writing to children is to realize that kids today are very sophisticated and, you know...
Yeah.
They're very high-tech. They've got a depth of knowledge and numbers in the world and spelling and experiences that we never had as kids. And it's just getting more and more like that. So I always like to, you know, make it as sophisticated as possible and also throw in a couple of things here or there that I know the kids won't get, but the adults will, because actually they're the ticket buyers.
Also, can you give us an example in Fancy Nancy of a joke that, not a dirty joke, but a joke that would go a little over the heads, maybe? And...
Oh, there's lots of stuff in the shark rap. There's a reference to MC Hammer and a reference to West Side Story. I'm sure the kids don't know West Side Story. So, there are a few things like that we think the parents will get.
And Danny, was there anything you wanted to add to Susan's answer about that question of writing for grown-ups versus writing essentially for kids?
I think there's not quite as much difference as people would think, because one of the things that I feel strongly about is that it's important not to talk down to your audience just because they're kids. That kids really do have the potential to understand a lot. And so it's really mainly just vocabulary choices, putting things... You know, seeing everything through the context of a child's eyes when you're writing, and also, you know, the opportunity for physical movement and sight gags is really important. There's one song in particular, the shark rap, where the shark asks the audience to chop along with him with their hands, and the kids love that because it's an opportunity to physically engage with the show.
Interesting. We are talking with Danny Abosch and Susan DeLallo. They are the authors of Fancy Nancy the Musical, which is in an open run at the McGinn-Cazale Theater off-Broadway. It's a Vital Theater Company production. Now this is they're not their first work. As a matter of fact, Susan DeLallo received the Claiborne Foundation Award, named after Ed Claiborne, the chorus line guy. Does an award make a difference? Susan, did it change your... Do you get more phone calls?
You know, it's interesting you ask that, because the one thing I was told when I got it was from a previous winner who said, "You think it's going to change your life?" And it won't. And I thought, well, maybe that's true for him, but it certainly won't be true for me. And it was. It really didn't change my life at all. Except, as I tell people, I now get turned down for a better class of product. No change.
If you don't mind my asking, what are some projects that are maybe Broadway things that you were up for, as it were, that you haven't gotten?
Oh, I feel a little funny talking about that.
Well, I'm a funny guy. You come on, mention one. Mention one project.
I'd rather not.
Are there any that are on Broadway now that have already been mounted, or are they still in the process of?
Yes. No, they've been mounted and they're on Broadway.
So without mentioning names, have you gone to see them, and do you sit there going, all right, I see their point, or do you sit there going, I could have done this better?
There's the old joke of, how many light bulbs does it take, how many actors does it take, and I could say, well, how many writers does it take to change a light bulb? 12, 11, one to change a light bulb, and the left to say, why wasn't I up for that? that kind of always happens, but it's always a different vision. Everybody has a slightly different vision, and the things that were done without me were done quite well.
Well, that's very humane. Do you feel the same way, Danny?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been up for things on Broadway like Susan has, but I sometimes feel the same way. I wonder, if I could have done that differently, but...
Well, you've been working on a show called Placebo. What's happening with that?
Yeah. A couple of things. I mean, we just had a production last summer at the Pasadena Playhouse, directed by Ryan Scott Oliver. So that's been cool. And I don't know, regional companies are interested in licensing it, so we're in talks with that right now.
All right. This is good. Now, one thing that may or probably won't interest you, Danny, is that the host of this radio program, Dave, is an alumnus of New York University. He went to the Tisch School, and he was in the theater, but he was in the film and TV and the writing program over there. Are you still in NYU?
For another week or so.
Oh, my God. So, mazel tov, you're graduating with what degree?
MFA in musical theater writing.
MFA. So, what do you think of the program overall? Now that you've been through it, you have another week to go.
Yeah. No, it's been great. It's the only program of its kind to get a master's degree in musical theater writing, of all things. I mean, that pretty much doesn't exist. But it's great. All our faculty are people writing in the industry, and people with a lot of credits, and you meet other students who are just like yourself, passionate musical theater writers, many of whom are new to New York. It's a great program, and I've really learned a lot from it.
So you come out qualified to write a musical, but economically you're qualified to drive a taxi.
If there is such a thing.
Well, who are some of your teachers, and what are some of the things that you learned, some great advice that stuck with you over the last, I guess, 2 years would be the program, right?
It's a two-year program. Some of our teachers, Mel Marvin, William Finn.
Oh, wow.
Rachel Shankin, Michael John Lacusa. Yeah, I mean, it's many, many people who you've heard of and who are in the theater world, have written for Broadway, etc.
Right.
I've learned everything. It's so hard to pinpoint certain things.
Yeah.
About that for a second.
One of the things he's learned is he really understands the business side of it, which is something most writers don't understand. I mean, Danny is really well-versed and totally grounded in what it takes to put on a musical.
Well, what does it take? In other words, if you're just a writer, how much do you need to know then, once you've written a musical, about what it takes to put it on? Or do you have to be your own producer sometimes?
They always say the last thing you should be is your own producer.
Right, yeah.
Right. Never put your own money into the show.
No, but in other words, how does the business side help you if you are, quote-unquote, just doing the writing and then the scripting?
Well, I think it's important for any artist of any kind to have a good business sense and to be able to self-promote and to be able to understand the decisions being made on your behalf, even though you're not the one making them all the time. So it's an important It's an important skill to have.
Okay. I mean, it totally makes sense. I was just kind of curious as to how that would come into play. If you were, say, a producer or a director, I see that. And also, how do you guys promote yourselves in that business?
I have a website, and I sell sheet music on my website and things like that, and so I promote myself online and through YouTube and things like that.
Cool. And Susan?
I should be doing a lot more of that. I rely on contacts with people I know, and Danny's doing it the right way for these times, and I'm not.
Now, Susan, can I ask, what's happening with a show that I said before we went on the air that we could use profanity, but there's a really horrible, horrible phrase in this show, but I've got to say it anyway. Once upon a time in, you should pardon the expression, New Jersey. I'm sorry, listeners, I had to say the NJ word, but what's happening with that show?
We're waiting for the next theater company or theater to step up to the plate and do it again. We just had a lovely production in August at Surflight Theater out in New Jersey, which unfortunately was severely damaged after we left by Sandy, but coming back, it's kind of been a mainstay out there. And it's licensed by TRW, but, it's hard. If something hasn't been on Broadway, one big lesson I've learned is it's very hard to then sell it out to the regionals because they like to have that little banner that says direct from Broadway. So, we're waiting for either Broadway or somebody else or something else to step forward.
Now, speaking of Broadway, your bio also mentions a show based on A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, and that it says it's Broadway bound. Is it?
Oh, yes. Well, it will be through a kind of roundabout way, like a tree. Think of how you start at one branch and you kind of go around to the other branches and you're through the leaves, and eventually it will. Right now they're looking at options in the West End in London. But yes, hopefully that'll happen. That is, by the way, not just my musical. I mean, I rewrote the libretto, but it belongs to George Abbott and Dorothy Fields. And who am I leaving out? The composer.
Oh, so this is an older, I see you. It's a revisicle, as they start to call it.
Yeah. I like that. I never heard that.
I wish I had made that up, but nobody remembers who made it up first, so I'll make believe I made it up. I just thought of a word. It's called revisicle. Good for me.
That's great.
So can I ask both of you, Susan DeLallo and Danny Abash, what your favorite musicals of all time are?
Sure, mine is
a hard question to answer.
Yeah, I actually have a favorite musical that I've seen done. Everything from a little Bus and Trust to Broadway. It's called She Loves Me.
Of course.
I saw this when I was a kid, and I just find it the most romantic, charming, wonderful little thing. It's based on a movie called The Shop Around the Corner, which was based on a play. And the latest incantation of the story is You've Got Mail. That movie was Tom Hanks. It's just a wonderful little love story by Sheldon Harnick and
the Fiddler on the Roof guys, yes. Ice cream. He gave me ice cream, and now I have brain freeze, and it hurts.
When I was a kid, I saw the great Barbara Cook do that role. That was like her first role on Broadway, and it was just magic.
Oh, my goodness. And then what about you, Danny Abash, your favorite
tuner? I always have such a hard time answering, so I'll name a few that I love.
Sure.
West Side Story, Sweeney Todd, Miz, Parade.
Parade.
10 years. I can never pick.
Now, have you guys met the? You probably have, since he was on the chairman of the board of something that you won an award in. Have you spoken to and had meetings and whatever with Stephen Sondheim?
I have not met him. I've seen him speak many, many times, but I've never actually met him personally.
And Susan?
Yeah, no, same with me. I've seen him on boards. I've heard him speak. No, never met him. Never had to shake his hand.
But we all want to, don't we? That would be sort of like climbing Everest in a way. And let me also ask, you sit down, you do the... What is your working process together? One writes music, one writes lyrics, you collaborate on everything. Who does what first on a song? What is your basic method?
I guess basically we start with the idea of the song based on, what the dramatic intent of the scene would be, about who's going to sing it, and what the feeling of it should be. And it's a real back and forth. And this is the first time I've ever collaborated on lyrics with somebody. And I got to say, it was wonderful with Danny because he's so good. And somebody I know once said, the idea of collaboration is you have half an idea, and then somebody else comes along and turns it into an idea and a half.
Oh, that's and, I love that.
Is that lovely? Keep it. Use it. Yeah. Yours.
Well, I'll steal that, too. I'll keep that and Revisicle. And then, boy, so educational.
We're two for two.
The book also, there has to be a libretto, a book. Are you responsible for that together again, or is that Danny or you or what?
I did the book, but with Danny's, you know, input and observations and opinions, and, you know, you learn early on in a collaboration, is this somebody you can trust or not? And, boy, can I trust him. He keeps me on it.
Oh, thank you.
Now, is it kind of a...
It's been a wonderful process.
Is it a backstage at your show of shows sort of thing where you spend the first hour of your work time, like, making coffee and avoiding everything, or can you plunge right in?
I think that's very accurate.
Yeah. Talk about movies we've seen, TV shows we've watched, yeah.
Right.
And at some point...
Yeah. Eight night owls, so sometimes we'll be collaborating up until, I don't know, 2 a.m. or something like that.
And have you ever had a real disagreement? How do you get through something where, oh, I think this should happen, and then she said, no, you're crazy. Now, how do you get through that?
That's interesting. We've had a couple of very minor things, so minor that they don't even come to mind, but nothing I would ever fall over my sword over, and like I say, I trust Danny. So if he says, no, it should be this, it should be that, unless I can think of a really good reason to defend what I think, it's fine to do it the other way. So I guess the answer is we've never had any serious battles.
No,
generally, just work things out. I'm a big believer in a collaboration that if you don't like A and I don't like B, then we have to find C. You know, it's
right.
Not a matter
good.
Of one of us winning.
Oh, that's
it's
nice.
A matter of us.
Can I steal that too?
We're both happy with.
You're giving me so many things to steal here, Delalo. But by the way, Susan, we just have another moment or two with Susan Delalo and Danny Abosh, the authors of Fancy Nancy the Musical, at the Vital, at the McGinn-Cazale Theater off Broadway. But Susan, are you still in advertising as well, or have you been able to give that up and concentrate solely on the theater?
Yeah, I gave that up, and I'm just doing theater things at this point. But I had a wonderful time, wonderful years, met funny, wonderful people, but that's all in the past.
Did you do any ads or jingles or whatever that we would remember?
You might know. I'm always asked that. The one thing you might know is a Sprite campaign that I haven't ran for maybe 8 or 9 years called I Like the Sprite and You.
I think I remember that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I did that.
Do you get a lifetime supply of Sprite?
Nothing.
You just get a check and that's it. You don't get a garage full of Sprite every day. They back up a truck and say thank you for the song. Were there any other jingles or songs that you worked on that we might recall?
Sure. Let's see. Swiss cheese crackers, the Yodlers, if you remember that, and Herbal Essence. You're gonna swear you got more hair. That was mine. I did a lot of musical things. Matter of fact, the ones that were my favorite were all musical things.
Now,
this is how I got into lyric writing.
But was it a heavy decision to leave a stable, 9-to-5, whatever career in advertising to take the leap into something that, you get a little bit of royalties from the Vital Theater Company, and that's it?
Yeah, sure. Well, not really, because I went from a 5-day-a-week job to a 3-day-a-week job, writing lyrics 2 days a week. And then once I had kids, I left the 3-day-a-week job, so it was me and the kids and the lyrics. So it's a gradual thing over time.
And it's and you
yeah, the kids and the lyrics. That'll be a good title for your memoir.
That's right.
And not to leave
you out. The night and the music.
Yeah.
Not to leave you out, Danny, but you are also you're still in school and you're doing all this teaching. You're making a career in the theater, but you have to do a lot of different things.
Well, we hope. Yeah, we hope I'm going to make it. I don't know. I'm still in grad school, so I can't talk about the career part of it yet.
You're in grad school for 3 more days. Come on. doesn't count.
That's true.
Are you an A student? Danny, are you? I'm just curious. How are your grades?
It's the program is actually a pass-fail program, so we don't actually get letter grades.
Nice. Okay. By the way, I would give Danny Abosh, and Susan DeLallo, and A-plus for being such wonderful guests here in the neighborhood. They are, as I keep saying, the authors of Fancy Dancing. And by the way, there's a CD out. You can get the tunes on it that I've been playing on the show. And you guys, what are your websites?
Mine is DannyAbosch.com, and Abosch is spelled A-B-O-S-C-H.
And Susan?
Mine is and will be SusanDeLallo.com. DeLallo is D-I-L-A-L-L-O. Right now there's nothing on it, but she's given me the impetus to go and put stuff on it.
Excellent. So thanks for that. Just put some naked pictures on it, then you'll get traffic up the wazoo. I'm telling you. And I think there is also a special website. Well, certainly there's a website for Fancy Nancy the book, but I think there's a website for the musical too. So people can go there and then surf and buy tickets, of course, to see the show. So I guess the last question, of course, is what are you guys working on now, either together or including apart?
The one thing I'm working on is a musicalization of a James Patterson novel. No, not a thriller. It's a fantasy by a little girl who has an imaginary friend when she's a little kid and then grows up and meets him again through a confluence of events and falls in love with him, and it's what happens after that. And I'm working on it with someone else.
Isn't that the Woody Allen story? No, I don't know what that means. I'm sorry.
Very good. Now you're 3 for 3.
Thank you.
And we're working with Martin Charnin on it, and that's kind of it.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, Martin Charnin. You know, he was a guest on this radio show a few months ago.
So let's see.
Oh, yeah. And he's the guy who wrote Annie and 2x2 and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And what about you, Danny?
Hi.
I'm working on 2 new musicals right now, both at the NYU program as my thesis. In the second year, you write a thesis. And for some reason, I'm writing 2. Those are still in development. They're very new. We just had a reading of one of them, and another reading is happening next week. So you might hear more about those in the future.
Now, do you feel, Danny, that you're drawn to a certain kind of topic more, that you're comfortable in a certain genre more than others?
No, I don't. I do feel certain things about musical genre, that I like things that are melodic and memorable and tuneful. But in terms of the subject matter of the show, I am really interested in a lot of things.
Wonderful. And Susan, same question.
I tend to go for comedies, and that's kind of what I do best. I'd love to try a dramatic thing, but I'd probably inject humor in it. So I would say comics.
Which is never a bad thing.
Oh, absolutely. I inject humor into everything I do. It's usually unintentional, unfortunately, but I do what I can. Anyway, everybody, please, 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 take your kids, take your grandkids, take everybody to see Fancy Nancy the Musical at the McGinn Cazale Theater up on 72nd Street. Is it 72nd or 76th? I always forget that. 76th Street on Broadway, and it was an off-Broadway show. You just look it up. Go look up Fancy Nancy, go see it, and wish the very best to Danny Abosch and Susan DeLallo, wonderful guests in the neighborhood, and both Jews. Thank you.
Tigers